This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the all-new 2008 Cadillac CTS. Be an original. Visit Cadillac.gm.ca.
The official story. That's what we heard last night on As It Happens. From the Mounties and from an executive at Vancouver International Airport in response to questions about the death of Robert Jakonski. Police shot the Polish immigrant with a taser gun and he died. Well, the official story did not wash. There was talk back and email and lots of it. Here are some of your calls.
Hi, my name is Jihad Abu Olbe and I'm calling from Calgary. As Canadian, I feel very ashamed. As an immigrant, I feel frightened. I don't know if anybody knows how it feels like to go to an airport, a big airport where you don't speak the language, and you're stuck there for 6 hours. Of course, you're going to be terrified and behave maybe weirdly, but the RCMP has no right to do what they did. Thank you very much, and bye for now.
Hello, my name is John McPherson. I'm from Sydney, Nova Scotia. I just listened to Mr. Levy from the airport in Vancouver, and I recall the interview last night on CBC when they spoke to another executive from that airport, and he was asked if he was embarrassed. He wouldn't answer or said he wasn't. Mr. Levy wouldn't reply either. I'd just like to say that I'm down here in Sydney, Nova Scotia, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed and hurt for this family and for what's happened there. And what I see from everyone you've interviewed so far are a group of people scurrying to get under the coroner's rock, so no one would place any blame on them. It seems to me that more than me should be embarrassed here. My wife and I were planning on going to Poland next year, and I'm really concerned about what kind of a reception I would get from them, given the kind of reception that their citizens get here in Canada. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hello, my name is Sherry McCann. I am so sad to hear of this. And I think if there was a stray animal at the airport, people would have responded much sooner. We have become so desensitized to what's going on around us. It's an embarrassment for all of Canada. Thank you. Bye-bye.
My name is Kamel Helmi. I'm calling you from Vancouver, Quebec. I heard the whole investigation. I saw the tape with regarding to this young fellow that was murdered in Vancouver. I would like to say this is not Canada. Thank you very much.
Thank you to you. That is just a very small sample of some of the talk back we received last night in response to our coverage of the death of Robert Jakonski at Vancouver International Airport. Carol last night spoke with a representative from the airport itself and from the Mounties as well. Well, while we have been focusing on how and why Mr. Jakonski died, the Polish community in Kamloops has been thinking about the life that he lived. He apparently lived most of it in Poland, not in Canada. But tomorrow, they're going to be holding a memorial service for him in the community where his mother lives. That is Kamloops, BC. Many, many are involved in planning that memorial service. Jurek Boltakis is one of the organizers of the memorial, and he's a friend of the family as well. As we've heard so much from the official side of the story, we want a personal side. We reached Mr. Boltakis in Kamloops, B.C.
Mr. Boltakis, I understand you've been seeing Robert Jakonski's mother quite often, Sofia Chisowski. Can you tell us how she's been coping?
Right. She kind of closed one chapter of that story about 2 weeks ago on Wednesday. But I noticed much improvement after she was saying a final goodbye and finally seeing his body after 2.5 weeks. And she was starting to improve. But this, you know, few days after she saw the tape, it was like opening wounds again, right? And she's in real distress right now, and pain and crying, and like without taking medication, she would possibly cry like 24 hours a day.
The ceremony 2 weeks ago, you were at that event.
Right.
What did you learn about Robert?
It was very, very moving, right? And I expected that we may have a problem with Sophia. And so I insisted that it would be very private and that nobody else will know about it. Right? We were just worried about her health and how she will react. And a good thing that it happened that way, because she was really, really distressed and crying and warming his heart, thinking that, you know, he may wake up and this bad dream will be just a dream. And it was very, very moving, right? There were the other parts which kind of moved me so much. He was like a geography freak, like Sophia is saying about Robert.
A geography freak.
Right, yeah. You know, like he brought with him three smaller sizes suitcases. And one of was, you know, that's just whatever we would take on those kind of trip, you know, the pair of jeans, sneaker, jackets, and some gifts for family friends. And two other suitcases were full of books, you know, and most of them were like atlases and magazines, you know, like Polish versions of the National Geographic. I was kind of shocked, right? Sophia brought two copies of the front pages of those National Geographic, I believe, magazines. And one of them was Poland, and one of them was beautiful British Columbia. And everybody cried immediately, you know, about this thing. And she said, I want to have those two pages with him, you know, for this long trip which he has to heaven. And so because he was coming to Canada, he was a Polish and Canadian, you know. That was a very, very powerful and moving story.
And so was Robert Gigansky buried with the two pages from the National Geographic?
He was cremated with those pages.
One of beautiful British Columbia, which was to be his new home,
right.
And the other of Poland, which was the home he was leaving.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he didn't have a chance to see, right, and know British Columbia, right, just from those magazines. Right.
What did you learn about Robert from his mother?
What I learned is, you know, I was getting to organize that public ceremony of Robert's life. And so I needed some pictures and asking her some stories because I didn't know Robert, right? I discovered, like, she was showing me the postcards. Like, he was sending every birthday, every names day, which is kind of European thing, was sending her cards. And I kind of, you know, the cards, postcards, just postcards. But I flipped them over and I look on the print. His handwriting was just awesome. You would have to see it, you know, very straight line. It's like he was taking like a 1 minute to write one letter. I don't know, possibly he was like a perfectionist, right? And another thing was what those sentences meant, right, to her. And that's another, you know, amazing thing. I'm not sure if those quotations he picked up, you know, from some other books he read, or maybe he just came up on his own, that I don't know. But there were kind of very philosophical things, right, about love and how people are supposed to be good to each other. And it was really, really moving, powerful, right? So I even decided to speak about this thing tomorrow.
Do you have those notes with you or an English translation of the postcard to his mom?
Yeah, I do have. Okay, this is just a free translation. That's the best what I could come up. And as you can see, my English is not that good. So one of those quotes was, people become good by doing good. It is rare that a person is good by the nature alone. Another one is, goodness does not exist, so one can make use of it. And the last one, which kind of I like it too, it's goodness does not flow from the place of weakness, but one of power, right? Isn't that so true?
It's a bit prophetic about considering what happened to him.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking about the same thing, you know.
What do you know about Robert and his life in Poland? What did he do?
Don't know that much. Ovid, I know that he was born in a city named Bielawa. It's on the south part of Poland. After then, he moved with Sophia to a larger, bigger town, more to the center, south of Poland. Like, she was looking for the good paid job. She was a single mother most of Robert's life. And so she found a job there, and he spent, I think, most of the time in that city. He graduated the technical high school as a minor. I guess he didn't enjoy working underground, so he upgraded his education, and most of his work, he worked on a construction, you know, renovating houses, those kind of things. And that's what he was doing before he came to Canada.
How did you come to know Sofia Czisowski?
We have a very tiny, small community, Polish community here in Kamloops, about, you know, maybe 40 families, and we keep kind of close together. If something is happening, we call each other. We also, like, do the parties together, like a Halloween party or something, right? So we know each other very well. Mm. And 7 years ago, one of the ladies called me that we have a new Polish lady immigrant, that she kind of came to Kamloops from Logan Lake, and she is kind of without the nothing, no furniture, and she needs a major help, right? So I kind of got a contact, and I checked that she doesn't have any furniture really, and so I called my son. We pick up the hide bed, right, so she could have something to sleep on, and that's how I know her.
You're having the memorial tomorrow, correct?
Right, correct.
Who have you invited to attend, or who has been invited?
We have several guests, and the most disappointed for me that I tried to invite the local MLAs and MP and some other politician here, not to put them on a hot spot, but just to you know, say a few words. You know, they are the best public speakers we have around, right? And show some compassion, maybe some kindness, right? To show that not all Canada is like, you know, like those people who were involved in what happened at the airport. And unfortunately, I'm disappointed they, you know, kindly politically decline. But we still have some powerful guests coming. We have a Consul General of Poland from Vancouver. We have ex-General Manager of Immigrant Services from Kamloops. We have Arjun Singh from City Council. The most one which I'm looking forward is Ricky Bagnell. Possibly you know her. She's from Toronto. She's the mother of Robert, who died in similar circumstances 3 years ago.
But your invitations to provincial government people and federal government people have been politely declined. Is that correct?
Yeah, sad, isn't it? You know, it's kind of, I'm really disappointed, you know.
I know that you also arrived in Canada as an immigrant. Can you just describe that for us?
Yeah, you know, when I was start to think about what happened to us, you know, in 82, we came here, and we were also, like Robert, you know, afraid, kind of scared, no English, except, you know, basic thank you, goodbye, right? And two small kids, but we were fortunate that we had people from immigrant services, you know, picking us up right away, redirecting us, helping us with luggage and the immigration process, and going to the different terminal and just making sure that we are on a plane, right, to Kamloops. And in Kamloops again, you know, we had people welcoming us, and one of them will be speaking too on this ceremony tomorrow. And so it's kind of, I don't know what changed, right, in the system, but we lost something here, right, that I think that processing of the new immigrants were kind of different 20 years ago than right now.
What has Sofia Czisowski had to say to you, if anything, about Paul Pritchard, the young man who took the videotape of Robert's death?
Yeah, she always, you know, she mentioned his name, and she's just so amazed and thankful for what he's done, you know. Possibly one day they will meet together so she can thank him, like, personally. Isn't he a great kid, you know? Like, sometimes we think, you know, what's going to happen to Canada, but when I see young people, you know, so brave and so eloquent and persistent to getting what they want, you know, with the tape, right? So I have a high hope for Canada, you know. Not everything is lost here, for sure.
Is she aware of the outpouring of public outrage and sympathy over the circumstances around her son's death?
Well, right now, we kind of keep her away from the media. She's watching TV a little bit, right? She's aware from the friends what's happening outside, and she is really encouraged, right, that she's not herself right now in this situation. It was, you know, few friends helping her, but the whole Canada and maybe even more is behind her with that, you know, tragic situation.
Is there anything you want to say before we close?
I hope that, you know, something good come out of it, that possibly will take lots of time with so many investigations going on as we speak. And I hope that, you know, that will never, ever, well, more than hope, I'm certain with the amount of media information, with the tape and everything, that there will be some changes to the airport services, to how the police is using the taser guns, and I'm positively sure that something will happen. Unfortunately, that will not bring Robert to Sofia, right?
Well, I wish you well with the memorial tomorrow. I hope it comes as a comfort to Robert Jugansky's mother, and I commend you for the friendship and support you've given her.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jurek Baltakis spoke with us from Kamloops, B.C., where he is organizing tomorrow's memorial service for Robert Jugansky, the Polish immigrant who died at Vancouver International Airport. Well, our coverage of this story has really opened the taps on our talkback line and to our email box.
John Willett of Lynn, Ontario, has written, "The only difference between this taser incident and any other is that there was a camera rolling." It's exactly what Jurek Baltakis was just saying. "Now it would be nice to see heads roll, but I'm sure promotions are in the order of the day."
And Larry Leonard, who wrote to us from somewhere in cyberspace, said this, "The spin doctors are already at work, backing away from responsibility and laying it at the coroner's doorstep. These officers are guilty of doing the very thing that the criminals in this country are doing, namely, shoot first and be damned with the consequences."
Well, those are a few of the many emails we received on this story. We'll read more of your letters on Monday.
And what we would mention here is that many of the letters and emails all came from the same viewpoint, though voiced differently. In the meantime, we remain, as always, all ears. So you call us anytime about anything. Our toll-free number is 1-866-481-5718. Or our email address is aih@cbc.ca. Well, one woman who has been keeping a close eye on this controversy is Moncton, New Brunswick native Karen Geldart. Her brother Kevin died in May 2005 in Moncton after police used a taser to subdue him in a bar. The inquest into his death found Kevin died from a combination of things, including injuries from the taser. Here, Karen speaks to a CBC journalist in Moncton, New Brunswick today for The Record.
I really think that that this video has created a tipping point in terms of the use of tasers and people's concern about that use. I'm not saying that in a situation where lethal force is required, that perhaps a taser isn't a better option. But from the experience of my brother and Mr. Jugansky, it doesn't appear as though lethal force was really necessary in those situations. So, in my opinion, it was an overuse, a misuse of force. And just, it seems to me that the taser is used before any other options. it's not the last resort. And
it'll be okay.
If the taser wasn't available, I really don't think that handguns would have been used in those situations. I certainly don't want to capitalize on Mr. Jihansky's tragedy, but it has ignited a debate. And, I mean, in Kevin's case, the discussion or the debate was more localized to the greater Moncton area. And this is now on a world stage. And I think for those of us who would like to see either a moratorium on the use of tasers or more study or more training or just that they need to be considered as, they are lethal. They're described as non-lethal weapons. But obviously, if you have 17 deaths in Canada in the last 4 years, they are lethal.
That was Karen Geldarts speaking about tasers with CBC Radio Moncton, New Brunswick today for The Record.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.